Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen loaded with top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. Perch has been my go-to showroom for design projects for years. Their knowledgeable staff is an extension of my design business, providing me with up-to-the-minute product information and continued education, making me a better resource to my clients. Visit Perch.com for more details on how Perch can help you elevate your next design project. Today, we welcome Robin Strickler, founder and principal of DesignWorks, a Southern California-based design firm known for their stylish yet timeless design aesthetic. In this episode, Robin walks us through her journey from fashionista to interior design tastemaker. We also discuss the heightened designer expectation, the reality of burnout among our peers, and our mutual fondness of Nate Berkus. Let's dive right in. Robin, welcome to the podcast. Let's start by hearing a little bit about your background and how you got into the industry.
Okay. In college, I was a psychology major, but I had a fashion merchandising minor. Mm-hmm. And so I originally really wanted to go into the fashion industry.
Right.
And I started out working as a buyer for when Robinson's used to be in business, Robinson's May, and going to the Mart and, you know, then living through the whole fashion industry, which was not nearly as glamorous as I thought. And, you know, just commuting from LA and living in Orange County was really hard. So when I got married and I got pregnant, I decided, you know, that I just, you know, I always kind of had an eye for interior design. I always was, I mean, even my dorm room was like perfect and my mom was kind of like that. So I just thought, yeah, I'm just going to do our house and, you know, not really worry about it. So I went to IDI when I was pregnant with my first daughter, and I really liked it. And it just so happened that a friend of the family had a small interior design firm, and she did some models.
Oh.
And that's kind of how I started. Once I went to IDI and I got my certificate, and I started working with these people, and I really started liking it, and it just kind of grew into a much bigger thing.
Funny how that happens, right?
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. Just doing the models, and then people would want their houses done. And I did some models in Dove Canyon. And while I was really pregnant, like 9 months pregnant, some of the people in the sales office told me, hey, some people really would love it if you could, you know, help them with their houses. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do residential. No, that sounds horrible. And they're like, actually, I think you might want to do this one. And it ended up being a great client. He had just gotten divorced, and he was president of a really big company in Newport, and I ended up doing his whole house, and that just kind of parlayed me into a whole residential side.
Wow. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So not predictable. So you were the gal in college with the awesome dorm room.
I had the great dorm room.
That was the telltale sign, I'm sure.
Yes, but I also had really good wardrobe. So fashion and design, I think, are very they merge together well.
Absolutely. In fact, let's talk about that for a second. When did you realize that, you know, that parallel of fashion and design that really isn't taught? It's just kind of it's kind of learned over time. I think anyone that's had experience in both fields definitely sees the parallel. And then the longer you're in one or the other, you begin to realize the parallel as well.
Yeah, I think when you're in fashion, you know, you have to have an eye and know how to put things together. And, you know, you're drawn to like fabrics and fashion and silhouettes. And so it makes you more aware of the things around you. So as you're putting together clothes, then your surroundings, you know, just even like working in the mart for a while. I was a merchandiser for George Marciano, and they taught us a lot of things of how to pair things together, and the fabrics were so important and the silhouettes. And so that really helped me get a keen eye for being able to pull things together.
Oh yeah, that layering that we do in design, that you know, the scale and the proportion, which I'm sure is relatable.
Right. Also, it's like when you're in fashion, it's like always being on, you know, on the cutting edge of what's happening. So I think that that's really helped me in design. You know, some people get into design and they do like a very Tuscan look, say forever and ever and ever.
Right.
So it's kind of nice to be constantly looking for new things and seeing new things and what inspires us, and, you know, just creating and keep growing and changing your design and not staying in one, you know, one look or another.
So you're not afraid of trends?
No.
That's incredible.
Yes,
that's awesome.
I think it's important not to make it too trendy. I try to make it more timeless. Like, people would get tired of things. They could, you know, change pillows or a few things. But overall, yeah, we try to stay very current.
And you're probably a master at editing. Like, after an install, I bet you walk the room and say, just take that away, and we're done.
I am definitely the accessory person.
I love it. That's awesome. So let's talk about what your business specializes in. So what type of projects do you specialize in?
We don't take small projects unless it's one of our clients, you know, that needs a room or something done. But we usually, it's from, you know, construction, so from the ground up. Mm. So we either do remodels, brand new construction, or we do, I have a lot of friends that work in the home industry, like some of them work for a new home company and Toll Brothers, and we get those projects, and we help the clients pick all of their finishes from flooring to countertops to bathroom tile and et cetera, et cetera. And then they move on with us, you know, and do the rugs and the furniture and the window treatments and the whole home.
Oh, that's great. So you spend a little time in those design centers, but you kind of help them develop the home above and beyond.
Right.
Which is exciting.
Right.
And how big is your team?
Right now we have 5 designers, including myself. And then we have Fayez, that's our warehouse manager and our operations person. We have another warehouse where we have accessories and other things there too. So he helps us on installs. So that's our team.
Great, great. And while we're on the topic of your team, you mentioned that you went to IDI, and I'm not going to ask you for everyone's credentials, but I do like to talk about formal education in interior design. I like to talk about that because I know that times have really changed. There was a time when it didn't even really exist, quite frankly. And then there was also a time, I believe, when maybe it wasn't taken as seriously as it's taken now. So what is your perspective on a formal education in interior design? Do you feel that it's a requirement now more so than it ever has been before?
I do. I absolutely do, especially because we're almost like architects in a sense. There's so much responsibility and codes and all of these things that you need to know. Mm-hmm. And so most of the people that I hire do come from IDI.
Right.
Or they at least have a design background. You know, they've gone to school for it. And just knowing, you know, how to do CAD and how to do floor plans is just so important. And knowing all the codes and it, you know, we couldn't survive without it.
Right. I agree. And I think I get that same answer from most design professionals. And I like talking about it and I like sharing it because I think that it kind of reinforces other design professionals' decision to invest in a formal education.
Right.
Because I know that it's a big commitment, but I've always felt that it was very important. It was very important to me. And I think that it is very well respected these days in the industry.
I agree. And I mean, it's a hard industry as well. I mean, there's so many things that you really have to know to make, you know, to pull it all together. And I mean, I'm really lucky that I have gotten some really good people from IDI.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about fabrics and pillows anymore. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah. It's a lot more than that.
Especially at this level, like you said, you guys specialize in new construction. So I would imagine that you spend a lot of time on the job site. You probably interact with builders and architects a lot more than you maybe ever anticipated.
Right.
And your deliverables are probably far more detailed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we spend a lot of time in the architectural phase just doing CAD elevations and cabinet elevations and you know, then we get into the tile, and there's just so many things that you have to know.
Mm-hmm.
But that, to me, is like the best part of design. I mean, that's the part I like the best.
It's the fun part, isn't
it? Yeah, it really
is. As crazy as it sounds. It's okay. It's only designers that are listening, and they get it.
Right. They get it.
It's our people.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So can we talk about leadership for a minute? Because, you know, you had mentioned you've been doing this a good long time. You've had a nice long run. You've seen this industry expand and contract over time. How have you kind of innovated over time? What has been your approach to the ever-changing design industry?
Well, I've definitely had to go with the times. I mean, when I was first started out in the 1990s, it was really busy, and I started working out of our house. And then, as you know, my kids grew and everything, then I got an office, and then I had more people, and then it just kept growing and growing. And then sort of a recession came, and then I was back down to like two designers, just the three of us, had a really small office on Red Hill, and, you know, just trying to take as many projects as we could, because it wasn't like it was before.
Right.
And now, as the industry, you know, I think we've become more established. We've had a lot of our projects published, and we've done a couple of Victoria's Secret models and some really nice clients. So we've gotten more notoriety, and now our business, you know, it's mostly word of mouth.
Right, right.
How we get these projects.
Yeah, I mean, referrals are the best. That's the best form of business. It really is. I like talking about having a client for life. If you do it right the first time, they're going to be a client for life. And it's those repeat clients and the referrals that really, I think, take your business to the next level.
I agree. Totally. Yeah.
What would be your advice to people that are just kind of entering their design career now, as far as, you know, planning ahead and anticipating those ebbs and flow in the industry?
I think it would be good, before they go out on their own, to work for maybe a smaller design firm, and then they can really get more hands-on of the way to manage projects, the way to interact with clients, mm-hmm. how to handle problems, and just learn from the people that have, you know, a lot of experience. And then if they wanted to, you know, venture out on their own, I think they'd get it, you know, that with school would really help them get a grasp on how the whole industry works.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's so important to work for another designer first and kind of understand what you're getting into. And I think that emerging design professionals need to swallow their pride. You can't know everything all at once. There's nothing wrong with going and learning under someone else's wing and, you know, kind of learning the basics. And I think that our industry has changed so much, and there's so many wonderful design professionals who are more than willing to be that person.
I agree. And that's what's nice. It's nice to know other designers that have similar firms and to be able to talk to each other and help problem solve and even, you know, share resources, mm-hmm. which we're always forthcoming, and we always love doing that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? And I mean, the reality is, and you know this because you've seen team members come and go, I'm sure. It's just the nature of the business. You know, you can't have your designers forever.
No, I think that's the hardest part. That's definitely the hardest part. I mean,
let's talk about that, because that's a reality of our business.
It's interesting you say that, because in June I lost my lead designer, and she was like, literally, she was like my day husband.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my partner. We'd go to High Point. We'd go to all the trade shows together. And she was just like, it was like a marriage, day marriage. And when her and her husband decided, you know, that they wanted to move to Utah and start, you know, get a house and everything, I was just completely devastated. I mean, completely devastated. So it's, you know, it's hard when you get really attached to people. So you just have to, you know, find somebody else that fits the bill. And I'm lucky I have some really good people on my team.
Yeah.
And sometimes you hire people that don't quite work out, which is what kind of recently just happened to us.
It happens
and it doesn't usually happen, but it's, you know, just have to, you know, once you get your team together, and it's so important that everybody works well and meshes together, and that we, you know, we try to have fun.
Well, yeah, and we work too hard not to have a little bit of fun,
right? Right. I mean, we're lucky to get to do what we do.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I'm glad that you brought that up, because it really is the reality of our business. You know, people do come and go, but like you mentioned, there are some very tight-knit relationships that occur in our business because of the amount of time that we spend together and the
level of trust that's required to work together, and just the creativity component. It right. can be so personal.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a reality of the design business. And I think that, you know, for business owners and for people who are listening that are approaching business owners to be a part of their team, that they realize that it's a long-term relationship.
It's a long-term relationship. Right. Just like when you start a house from the ground up. And it could be, I have one right now, we're 2 years in.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we're going to grow old together.
Sometimes it feels that way.
Yeah, it does. So, no, that it's true. You have to know that.
Yeah, I do want to talk about burnout.
I think I'm feeling that today.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry to say that.
I want to talk about burnout for a second, and it's kind of like a buzzword that's circulating amongst the design community, but it's a reality of our business as well. And, you know, I say jokingly and also in all seriousness that, you know, I am a recovering interior designer and that I just experienced burnout after 10 years. And, It wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but it was a real eye-opener, and it was a realization for me in the very best way, because it led me down this new path, this influencer path, which I'm enjoying so much. And I'm finding that my time is much better spent, and it's much more fulfilling interacting with fellow design professionals.
Right.
I think I was pretty darn good at interacting with clients, but I feel so much better at the end of the day.
Right.
After this conversation.
Right.
This makes my day.
Right. Isn't that, that's so great to be able to do that.
Oh, for sure. So what is your strategy to avoiding burnout and like keeping the excitement level up?
Well, it's not easy to do. And you can tell, like, I've had some very, very difficult clients in the last few weeks, and everybody wants everything. And it seems like at those times that, you know, things go wrong in our industry all the time, and it's just the way you handle them. And I think part of what makes it easy for me not to be burned out is that 7 years ago I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was sort of an eye-opener about what's really important. And, you know, luckily it was a stage one, and but I did have to go through chemo, and it was a lot. And just going through that put things in perspective for me and made me realize that, you know, being an interior designer and helping people, you know, create their homes is a joy. And it's something that, you know, we should be grateful for, that we can do that. And it just sort of puts everything into perspective. So, you know, if your cocktail table doesn't come on time, you're not dying, you know.
Right.
It's going to be okay. You're going to get it next week. Your friends will understand. I mean, it just makes things a little bit more real. So I think now I look at work more as like I'm excited to go to work. Like I can dress up and I can, you know, do different things every day, and we can work on different projects. And although it's not always fun, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it is pretty rewarding.
It's very rewarding. And I think it's important for design professionals to realize that, yes, we do take what we do very seriously. And we know that it's a large investment for our clients, and it's very important to them as well. But at the same time, you know, it's just a sofa. It's just a coffee table. It's just a scratch. It's nothing that can't be resolved. If the chairs don't show up in time for the install, don't worry, they'll be here next week. It's not the end of the world. Of course, we're going to try our very best to make that happen, and we regret when it doesn't happen. But to get so worked up about it and really kind of let it overtake you personally and emotionally and ultimately physically is not a good thing.
It is so true. And just what you said, I'm just echoes in my ear the things that I've been trying to say to people, because I know people are, you know, they just ordered in October, and do they understand? I've been, you know, no matter how many times we say, well, it's Christmas, we can't guarantee it, Christmas, they don't hear that. It falls on deaf ears. And then it comes time, and their families are coming for Christmas, and it's texts and calls and, you know, yelling and getting upset.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my gosh, this is your forever home. Don't, you know, be happy that you have this beautiful home. Not everything's going to be here. Your guests will understand.
Yeah.
And in the end, you know, you'll have everything that you want. But just to rush and make it all happen before Christmas is just, it's not realistic.
Yeah. And it's not a good time of the year to do that. For those of you listening, because this will air probably in January or February, but we are in the first week of December, so we are in crunch time.
How we?
So the fact that we're sitting back here having this conversation is kind of humorous, but I appreciate you taking the time and making the time. But yeah, it is that time of the year when everything just kind of comes to a head. And I think this is a really important time of the year for design professionals to take a step back and just be grateful that we're able to work in this incredible industry and do what we do and contribute to these people's lives the way that we do and make that difference and have that impact and not be overwhelmed by the minutia.
It's so true. And I think I've learned through the years. I used to get so upset and, you know, even getting, you know, a little bit angry with clients. I hate confrontation and I will never yell at a client, and people yell at me a lot of times. And I can just take it. You know, you just have to sort of sit back and listen and let them vent. And I think, you know, then they calm down and then, you know, you can make things better.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I'm not a very calm person, but I try to stay calm. Trust me, I do.
I believe that you try. I do believe you. With that being said, what strategies do you employ to allow that to trickle down to your employees? Because, you know, this type of this mindset trickles down from the top. And so once we as design professionals and business owners find that place and we're able to create this balance, it's important that we relay that to our team, because ultimately they're an extension of us.
Absolutely.
And you want them to save their own sanity as well, because, you know, we are a team. You know, how do you relay that to them?
I'm so open with my team, and, you know, sometimes behind the scene we'll say some bad words, but I just explain to them, you know what, ultimately, we want to make our clients happy.
Sure.
So if they're going to yell at us and if they're going to feel better, I said, just let them talk, stay calm, and just say you're working on it. All we can do is try.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there's been some tears here for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I think overall that our whole team feels like I do. We behind the scenes, we can vent to each other, but never do we ever, you know, have confrontation with clients, and we just always try to, you know, maintain our dignity and try to make things right.
Yeah. And I mean, you make a good point. We have each other.
Right.
You know, and for those design professionals who don't have a team, we have our design community.
Right.
And I'm so glad that this design community is really banding together, because we can have conversations like the one that you and I are having right now, and we can share it the way that we're sharing it so that other people can benefit from it. I always try to make sure to relay the message that you're not alone in this industry. Even if you're a one man or a one woman show, you're not alone.
No, it's so true. In fact, last night I had some friends over for dinner, and Michelle, that owns Juxtaposition, came for dinner, and we were just talking about some clients and some things that go on and, you know, the craziness, and it was funny.
I mean, right?
We were laughing. I know at the time we didn't laugh, but yeah, now it's funny, and it's, you know.
I always say it makes for good stories.
Doesn't it?
It definitely makes for good stories. I spent the last six years, working with a fellow designer who's become a dear, dear friend. And we joke about it all the time. And, you know, we always say one day we're just going to be in our lawn chairs or in our lounge chairs in Bora Bora. And we're going to think back at all these crazy stories and all these shenanigans that occurred. And I don't know what's going to be more funny, how worked up it got us or the fact that we were even in those circumstances to begin with.
I know. We couldn't make this stuff up.
You
I don't think people realize like what really happens behind the scenes. And it's pretty interesting.
Right.
So, yeah, I try to stay calm.
Every day is a reality show for us.
Isn't it?
Without cameras.
Well,
thank
goodness. What I always tell my publicist. I'm like, you know, forget doing real clients. I want to have a reality show. I mean, you could just film exactly what we go through. They would not believe it.
They wouldn't believe it.
They wouldn't believe it. No, you couldn't make it up. You couldn't make it up. That's for sure.
You cannot make this stuff up. So, Robin, what would you say is the secret to your survival in this business?
I think I'm very driven, and I think part of it is competition. I'm very competitive, so I always want to be on the cutting edge of everything, and I think that sort of just keeps me going. So just like going to all the trade shows, going to High Point, going to Round Top, you know, working with other designers and knowing what they do, you know, what they're doing, and just looking at other things. And our industry is forever changing and evolving.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what keeps it interesting for me, and really is at the heart of what I love doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not like going to a job and just doing the same thing. I mean, every project is so different and all the clients are so different. So I think that's what sort of gives me the drive to just keep going.
Yeah, I think the sooner design professionals embrace the fact that this business is, it's a different business every single day. and it's filled with challenges, but it's also filled with so many great opportunities, like you just mentioned, to go to these different shows and see trends and just be inspired and then bring that back to your work and to your clients. It's so exciting.
It's so exciting. And just, I mean, even just when I go to High Point and I come back, you see so much. It's so overwhelming.
Oh,
but
gosh.
Then you come back and you're just completely inspired because you've seen everything new and it doesn't feel stale and you can't wait to use some of these pieces that you see. So
Yeah,
it's a great, that's what makes it fun.
How many years have you gone to High Point?
I've gone to High Point on and off. I mean, I've probably been to High Point at least 8 or 9 times.
Right. And have you seen it all yet?
No, you'll never see it all. I would never see it all. No, no.
I'm only on my second trip to High Point, and I tell you, it blew my mind the first time. I had no idea, and no one warned me. And so, I'm strategizing my next trip, and there's a lot going on.
Oh, my gosh. It is so – the first time that I ever went to High Point, I was just like, what is this? I don't even understand. There's some – but now, now we've got it down. You know, now we know to make appointments and everything, but it's –
and show up a couple days early, which one told me about.
Oh, yeah. Now we go – the problem now is that you have to go earlier and earlier.
Because the word is out.
Yeah, the word is out. And some of those showrooms – and I won't say which ones, but some of the high-end showrooms sell their samples. One on the sofa that we're sitting on, and their showroom is amazing.
Right.
And so we go earlier and earlier. So we end up staying at High Point like 5 or 6 days.
Wow.
And it's exhausting, but it's also invigorating.
It's very exciting.
Inspiring. Yeah.
I always tell people it's not for the faint of heart, so just be prepared.
Right.
But it's definitely worth it.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's great.
What would you say is the one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then when you started it all?
I think I wish I knew that any problem can be solved. I think I used to be so worried about making a mistake and didn't want to lose money and everything. And now I don't look at it like that. I just problem solve. I just step back away from it. And I think, how are we going to fix this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, when I was younger, I didn't know. And I used to get so upset and so worried and stressed. And now I just, it's just furniture. It's okay.
Yeah.
We can make it right.
Step away. There's a solution. Just
yes.
Step away. Go do some research. Come back. It'll be fine. It's funny, I struggle with that myself. As many times as I've asked this question, I've reflected as well and have answered it myself. And I think one of my biggest challenges when I started design was the feeling like I needed to know it all.
Right.
I was always afraid to take on that next project because I wasn't sure that I was going to know all the answers. And I wish that I knew then, like I know now, that you don't have to know all the answers. You can't know all the answers.
You can't.
The variables are infinite. All you have to be is resourceful and know where to find that answer.
Absolutely. And it's the longer that you're in the industry and the more people that you get to know that you learn how to problem solve and you learn how to do things that you've never, I don't typically like doing commercial projects. And I think it's because it's foreign to me. It's not at all like residential. So when I do get them, I approach them, just like a residential project, even a doctor's office. Well, I want it to feel like this and feel like that. So there's always ways to make things work.
For sure. For sure. And again, that mentality trickling down to your team is so important. I know the time that I spent with our principal designer, and I would always ask him, we spent a lot of time on job sites. And before we started working together, I was never on job sites. So it was an incredible experience for me. But I was constantly like, eyes as big as saucers and my jaw, dropped because I'm watching them problem solve and, troubleshoot these major construction issues
right
on the fly. And we would always get back in the car and I would say, how did you know what to do? And he would say, well, I've kind of solved that problem about 4 or 5 times now. He's like, but, 20 years ago, I did not know the answer.
Oh,
and he's like, the good news was somebody did, and I learned from it, and now I built upon it, and, I have a point of reference.
Right.
And I'm so glad that he told me that because I believed, and I think so many young designers believe, that you just have to know the answers to everything.
And
it comes from experience.
Right, absolutely.
It's all about experience.
That's so true. I mean, you have to have so many mistakes, and there's always mistakes in construction.
Yes, they're going to happen.
And there's always finger pointing and everything, and it's, it can be, I think people just need to know it can be fixed, and, we can all learn from that.
How would you say that you pay it forward in the design community?
I pay it forward. I we pay all of our interns. I don't know if that's paying it forward, but I also do. My sister lives in Santa Barbara, and she works for like Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Dream Foundation, and I'm always donating things. And then when they had all of the fires up there in Montecito and everywhere, then I donated a lot of my time, and I did a lot of like CAD work and specking things. And if we had damages, I donated a lot of things at that time.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
no, I think it's important that you pay your interns. I know you just kind of were like, does everyone do that? I think that more designers do that than ever before. Just about every designer that I've spoken with says that they pay their interns, even though I know you don't have to. You know, they have to. They need those hours for their degree. But we always paid our interns. We didn't typically take on interns, but when we did, we definitely paid them. Like, we wanted them to feel like a part of the team. We wanted them to really give 100% and learn and absorb information and try to contribute in any way, even though they were new.
Well, absolutely. I think that's important.
Yeah.
And just giving people a chance, you know, when even when they've just graduated, but they've gone to school, but they haven't really worked in the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, just hiring those people and taking a chance on them is a way we pay it forward.
For sure.
And I'm always looking for, you know, up and coming designers. I mean,
yeah,
it's a way to make me feel young again and keep things inspiring.
Yeah, and you got to keep it fresh in the office. I mean, that's the beauty of what we do is, you know, there could be five designers in a room and we would all do it differently.
Right.
And that's what's so exciting, because you get to see five interpretations of good design.
It's so true. It's so true. We had, don't ask me how this happened, but we worked behind the scenes on Nate and Jeremiah's show.
Oh, did you really?
And I just thought, oh my gosh, I just want to meet Nate Berkus. I had no idea how hard it would be to be like, I was like the intern.
Right.
We were like the slaves, but
oh my gosh.
Just watching their dynamic and seeing it on TV and everything was really, that was really fun. And they're like completely lovely to work with. They're so funny. And
they seem great.
They're just such a good couple that it made it really fun, because I had no idea when they like approached us and we're like, oh, this is going to be so fun, because it really wasn't fun. I mean,
it was a lot of work.
Oh my God, it was so much. It was more work than any projects that we had. Like, we were in charge of so many things, construction walks and all that, but it was fun. I mean, I would never do it again, but it was a good experience. Check that off the list. I've done that.
And did you get to meet with Nate?
Yes, we did.
So you guys bonded?
We even got to go to their house. And it was amazing.
Can you put in a good word for me? Because I'm trying to get them on the podcast.
Are you? I know they're moving to New York. I don't know if they've already relocated. But yes, I will.
I think they did. But, you know, I'll go to New York. I'll do what I have to do.
I'll go to New York with you.
There, see? We can shop while we're there.
There you go.
We'll make it a business trip.
Yeah, perfect. Sounds like my kind of trip.
Robin, I really appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation with me. And I think that so much of what you shared is going to be so valuable to design professionals that are listening. So I really appreciate it. How can we learn more about you? How can we find your website? What is your Instagram?
Our Instagram is DesignWorksHome, same as our website. Mm-hmm. And Jess does all of our social media, but we're always posting things and projects and things like that. And
beautiful things.
And we've had some nice press. So yeah, but she tries to post something on Instagram every day. I know it's not easy, but she's good at it.
Your Instagram's beautiful. That's one thing we didn't talk about, is your relationship with social media.
I know, and I'm technically challenged. I don't know if I shared that with you, but the girls are so good at doing the social media, and that's really fun.
It takes a village, thank goodness.
Thank goodness, it's
for
right.
The village, right?
Yes.
Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
You're welcome.
I love that Robin was so forthcoming about the value of a formal education in interior design. The new expectations imposed upon designers from consumers and the building industry require an expanded knowledge of design, much of which stems from the classroom. Now, I realize that design school is not for everyone, but for those of you who are in design school now, pay attention in class, because the industry's expectations are bigger than you may realize. Burnout will be an ongoing topic of discussion on the podcast, and Robin was so generous in sharing her story of how a health scare shifted her perspective and attitude toward the business of design. Every day is an opportunity, and we're so lucky to do work that truly impacts the quality of people's lives. However, we all need to take a step back and let go of any negativity that may compromise our true intention. And remember, lead by example. Your team will emulate your good habits and self-care. It was also nice to talk about the fun stuff with Robin, like High Point Market, friendships with fellow designers, and our mutual fondness for Nate Berkus. Robin, I think I see a New York field trip in our future. Maybe we can record part two of the podcast on our flight to interview Nate and Jeremiah. I'm just putting it out there. Thanks for joining us for this informative and inspiring conversation. Be sure to join us on Instagram and check out our new Saturday School for Designers videos on IGTV. If you're not already on our email list, please visit our website, designbizsurvivalguide.com, and sign up today. We have lots of exciting programs and opportunities coming up, and we don't want you to miss a single announcement. If you're listening on iTunes, keep the 5-star ratings and reviews coming. They really help us become more visible to the design community. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, get out there and inspire.